This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Forget windows. They're showing a lot of folks to the door.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Yeah, the fallout is that bad. Microsoft announced this morning that it's laying people off 5,000 jobs over the next year and a half. It's the first time it's ever even looked at layoffs of that size. The company reported an 11% drop in second quarter profits. The government reported this morning new jobless claims rose last week to 589,000. That's a 26-year high. And new home construction fell sharply in December, capping the worst year for builders in half a century. I'm wondering how the markets are taking all this in. Yeah, the Dow is down more than 2%, 178 points at this hour. The NASDAQ taking a beating this morning, more than 3% down, 47 points. And the S&P 500 down about 2.25%. European markets had been climbing, not so much now. London's up, but Paris and Frankfurt are now down. Hong Kong got a lift this morning, 0.5%. Japan rose nearly 2%. Two men involved in China's tainted milk scandal were sentenced to death today. Another got life in prison. Six children died from the bad milk. Hundreds of thousands got sick. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
One of the men sentenced to die was found guilty of running the workshop that made the deadly additive, melamine. The other was convicted of producing and selling the melamine to milk makers. Despite the sentences, many Chinese bloggers and commentators consider the men scapegoats for government officials believed to have covered up the scandal for months. Beijing attorney Lester Ross says the broader victim is China Inc. and the vast array of American and foreign investors associated with it.
Because of problems like this, the taint of poor product quality and the suspicion that problems are sort of swept under the rug taints other companies that are perfectly legitimate. There is a bad aura that may attach to being made in China.
Food experts say the death sentences may deter some cheaters, but they won't fix fundamental issues in China's food supply chain. And increasingly, items in that chain are turning up in American supermarkets. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Speaking of China, its economy sure has weathered the global fallout pretty well, but it's hit one heck of a speed bump. Numbers out today show its GDP grew 9% last year, but that's down by nearly a third from the previous year and cooling rapidly. Mega banks have released some pretty dismal numbers of late, and now smaller, more regional banks are posting some sour information as well. Ohio-based Fifth Third Bank Corp this morning posted a $2.2 billion quarterly loss, its third straight. But mid-tier banks, as they're known, have other things to take into account that differentiates them from the bigger siblings. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The banking sector as a whole is suffering, with banks writing down assets and setting aside loan loss reserves as fast as they can. But as Eric Oja of Standard & Poor's explains, not all banks are hurting the same.
A lot of these mid-tier banks specialize in bread-and-butter commercial lending. They're a lot less complex than, say, a Citigroup or a J.P. Morgan in terms of their securities holdings and their exposure to derivatives.
Oja says the mid-sized banks in the most trouble are those that chase the housing bubble outside their regions, lending to builders in places like Florida, Nevada, and California. That includes Comerica and Fifth Third and Marshall and Ilsley. But Oja says even banks that stuck with safer lending in local markets will be playing cleanup throughout 2009, setting aside additional reserves as borrowers get behind on their loans or stop paying altogether. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Imagine having unlimited access to your doctor. Some physicians do offer that for a fee. But this concierge or boutique medicine is drawing some controversy. The state of Maryland is the latest to consider regulating fee-for-service medicine, Tamara Keith reports.
Dr. Alan Sheff was under a lot of stress. He had more than 3,000 patients and was getting squeezed by declining insurance reimbursements.
I was going to leave medicine. Carpentry started to sound like a very good career option to me.
So he did something dramatic. He shut down his practice in Bethesda, Maryland, and reopened it offering more personalized care, what many call concierge medicine. Sheff's patients pay a $1,500 annual fee. They get a comprehensive annual physical exam for that. Other appointments are billed through their insurance the usual way.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
We've got some catching up to do.
Marianne Bastnagel is getting her physical. She has a strong history of cancer in her family and says she wants a doctor who consistently monitors her health. Sheff says that since he now has 80% fewer patients, he can take more time with them.
This is old-time medicine. It's a giant leap back in time to the way things used to be 15 or more years ago.
But the giant leap is generating lots of controversy. The Maryland Insurance Administration is now weighing whether concierge practices should be considered insurance and subject to regulation. The debate has cracked open an even bigger issue, whether fee-for-service medicine is contributing to a shortage of primary care physicians. Baltimore's Commissioner of Health, Dr. Joshua Sharfstein, thinks it does. He says when a doctor converts to a concierge practice, a couple thousand patients are displaced.
There are high rates of preventable hospitalization in the area, and that's sort of saying that already we have a relatively weak primary care system. And suddenly if you have hundreds of patients needing to find primary care doctors, that's going to make it even weaker.
That couldn't be further from the truth, says Darren Engelhart. He's president of MDVIP. It helps set up a couple hundred concierge-style practices, including Dr. Sheff's.
Intuitively, we believe that if you have great physicians and you give them more tools and more time to focus on prevention and early detection, you should be able to see reductions in hospitalizations. But it's been very gratifying for us to be able to actually document that.
There's no official count of how many practices have switched to the concierge model, but MDVIP claims 100,000 patients and growing. In Bethesda, Maryland, I'm Tamara Keith from Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Recessions can mean...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.